This is KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. I'm Jenny Nyman, and you're listening to a recording of a True Tales Told Live storytelling event, November 16th at Odie's in Soldotna. You just heard Megan Weston, Jen Luton, Forrest Cohn, and Scott Davis. Up next are stories from Jill Davis, myself, and a bonus performance by Noah Proctor, our musician for the evening. Plus, information on how you can attend or participate in an upcoming True Tales event. Stay tuned. Up next, we have international best-selling author, branding expert, and marketing consultant, Alaska woman Jill Davis. Alaska Man talks about she and her husband's experiences on off-the-grid living, and they consult in such things as well. Jill has a quintessentially Alaska tale of figuring out how to live your life on your own terms. So Jill Davis.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for coming out. I guess it all started when I was very, very young. My dad, because of his enthusiasm for hunting and fishing, that kind of spilled over into me being enthusiastic about it, and I pretty much took to it. He had me hunting and fishing as soon as I was physically able, and I enjoyed every minute of it. Got my first Snoopy rod, went out to the river and caught my first fish on it, Zebco. He had a real affinity for guns, and I just really enjoyed, we go target shooting, and he had me holding 22s when I was pretty darn young, about 5 or 6. By I was 6 years old, they took me to Santa Claus and they put me on Santa's lap and they said, "Well, what do you want for Christmas, little girl?" And I looked him right in the face and I said, "I want a 22 rifle." He looked kind of surprised and he goes, "Well, little girl, are you sure you don't want a Barbie doll or something?" Nope. 22 rifle. That's what I want. So he hands me to my parents and he's like, "Good luck with that." Well, Christmas rolls around. I was on my best behavior. My parents were like in heaven. They're like, "Oh, thank God we got something that, you know, she's gonna be on her best behavior wanting this 22 rifle for Christmas." And so Christmas Eve, you know, I'm in bed and just, I was so excited. I just knew I was gonna get that 22 rifle. So Christmas Day, I wake up, I run to the tree, and there's this gun box. I knew it was a gun box. It was long and square, you know, kind of skinny. And I just jumped on it like a bear, and I shredded it open. And lo and behold, to my disappointment, it was a BB gun. A BB gun. Are you kidding me? "Mom, Dad, Santa made a mistake. This is not a 22, this is a BB gun." So my parents were like, "Oh my goodness. Well, Jill, maybe Santa thought you should have this BB gun first before you get your 22 to make sure you're okay with it." I was 6 years old, you know? So I probably shouldn't have had a 22 maybe at that age, but what's the difference? If you're gonna be the same with a BB gun, you should just kind of have the 22 maybe. That was my thinking, but that kind of spilled over into my growing up being a teenager. I was always an entrepreneur, always a go-getter, always hustling, trying to make money. You know, what can I do to make money? Oh, I could, you know, do chores. I can go shovel snow. I grew up in Cordova, tons of snow to shovel, so that gave me plenty of work. Babysitting, everything. I always enjoyed serving people and, you know, providing a service and, you know, earning my own money and having the freedom of that. At the age of 15, I was already had that drive in me, and I was involved in the fisheries program. And with that program, we did a fish marketing tour. We put it all together. We organized it. We did a presentation at a college, and we had the media there, we had chefs there, we had apprentice chefs, and we marketed Copper River salmon. And this was back in the early 90s. We made our own brochures and all kinds of stuff like that. And I loved marketing. A big part of this was the marketing. I took to marketing, And I love the outdoors. Also, I love to fly airplanes. I love to sport fish. And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to be in the lodge business. That is what the perfect thing for me, because I can have my freedom, I can fly around in airplanes, I can go fishing, I can do the marketing. It's just like the whole package. I graduated early at 17 and went to college for 2 years to build up, you know, like some business courses, English, some computer science, because I loved computers. I started building websites at a young age. And so at 19, I just said, I need to start my career. I just want to get going. I learned enough right now already. I can always go back to school. I ended up meeting my future husband. He had a lodge already built, and he flew an airplane. Imagine that. And he just swept me off my feet at 20 years old. Anyway, I started working into that business and started actually just kind of went straight to management because I'm kind of bossy and I love being in charge. And my parents were just like, yes, finally, go, go. Because I was just kind of just always did what I wanted to do mainly. I mean, I minded my parents, but I mean, they just kind of knew I had a mind of my own. I was just kind of go like forge my way anyway. So just let her be. It's better just to get out of her way. So I got into that business and we ended up building two other additional lodges. And then the third lodge in Icy Bay, we built it up from the ground up ourselves. It was 60 miles from the nearest town. And we had bought a boat down in Port Angeles, and we actually ran that boat ourselves all the way from there all the way to Alaska, and it took 4 days and we ran it nonstop, and that was just an experience in itself. And then we bought a lumber package and had it shipped, and then load after load after load hauling. Me and the scuppers were like at water level. That's how much we pile in this boat, 36-foot boat. We hauled all the stuff out there and built it from the ground up ourselves. We towed a float house out there, and that's what we like kind of started at. Really cool little float house. And then we built from there. And we had a couple cabins built. We had our ATVs, we had boats. And so we kind of had the whole package. But we always kind of really wanted it to be fancier, faster. Because, you know, I mean, I'm that way a little bit. Like, I'm impatient. So, bigger, better, faster. So, a client came up sport fishing. And he's wealthy, very wealthy. And he took a look at what we had. And he goes, how would you like it to be bigger, better, faster? We're like, yeah. And we were greedy. We kind of made a mistake. Took in this investment partner, and then we did build it up beautiful, faster, better. I mean, the place was awesome. But it wasn't the passion was gone. It was just turned into work. It was just turned into like this super hard job. I was working 16-hour days. I wasn't really feeling very like it was my purpose or rewarding. The economy got bad, and our partner was pretty shrewd, and he saw an opportunity to get us, buy us out of the company at a very, very meager price, and we took it, and we just couldn't afford airplane payments. We couldn't sell the stuff fast enough to, you know, afford to run the business, boat payments, insurances, just payroll, everything. So we did have this thing that we had always been passionate about that we wanted to pursue, and that was our company we started, was Alaska Wild Adventures. And I've always been a writer, and I had never had time to like write for myself. I was always working. So even though we had spent 20 years and this place was our home and this was our business, and we're at an age where most people stay in their career and work it till, you know, they sell and they retire. And we were at an age where it was scary. It was risky to start this business we knew not very much about and to pursue writing a book. But it did pay off because we have built up Alaska Wild Adventures. We do adventure guiding. We do consulting, off-the-grid consulting. We've had some really awesome experiences all over Alaska, Kodiak, all over the peninsula, remote places that nobody gets to see. And so it was all worth it. And also learning about how to live your dreams and go after it and take the leap. So thank you.
Our next storyteller has been writing in notebooks since she was a little girl. She also was pretty risky when she started a newspaper. So our next storyteller had the risky business of actually being a journalist, and in my estimation, she's a truth teller that's fair, that looked at all sides, and was a phenomenal reporter. And then when that folded, she launched into some other avenues with her words, and she shifted directions. And so I'm delighted to invite you to listen to Jenny Nyman, our next storyteller, who is very delighted to be drawing a regular paycheck, not doing her risky business on paper and print, but who's working for KDLL as the general manager and is a fabulous storyteller.
When you are thinking about starting a business, the first thing that you want to do is come up with an idea that has a market, right? Something that people need, ideally, or at least want, and are willing to pay for not only now, but into the future. So in 2008, I ignored all of that advice and decided to start my own newspaper. That's right, dead tree journalism in the age of smart devices and online digital everything. To make it even more fun, I decided to have it be free circulation, so you didn't even have to pay for the thing. But wait, there's more. About 2 years into this gig, I agreed to take over the business of a very dear elderly homesteader in the area, and I moved into the map shop right up the hill from here in Soldotna so that I could sell printed USGS topographical maps, many of which had survey data still from the 1950s. And no, we, even to this day, do not sell anything to do with GPS. Really, the only thing my business plan was missing was an electronics dealership where I sold fax machines and cassette players. So people at the time, not surprisingly, were a little confused as to why I would do this. What they didn't realize, though, is that I have a long history of truly questionable entrepreneurial decisions. My first foray into working on contract was in the second grade when a classmate hired me to give nice lessons. She was not a bully. She was not a mean kid, but just through the freakishness of hormones and genetics, she was a head and shoulders bigger than everyone else in the class. And she didn't quite grasp the impact that had on her peers at the time. So what this gig entailed is me following her around on the playground at recess and offering helpful tips like, do you see how you just cut in front of that entire line? That's not nice. Or, do you notice how when you threw that ball, it was so hard that you knocked little Timmy over? Yeah, not so nice. From this, I learned the valuable lesson of requiring payment up front, because after following this girl around for a week, I did not have the nerve to shake her down for money. About a year or two later, my parents did not give us allowances, but my brother and I had opportunities to work around the house or in the yard to make money. So when I was about like 6 or 7, one of my jobs was to salt slugs in the garden. Fun fact, a slug will dissolve if it touches salt. And we lived in Southeast Alaska, which is a rainforest. So the populations of slugs outnumbered humans millions to one. It was the makings of a horror film, except it's kind of hard to get terrified about something that moves that slow and can be taken out by a French fry. So my payment was 5 cents a slug, and I quickly realized the value of the hustle. Because I could spend all day going slug speed and salting one here and salting one there, and at the end of the day, I would earn my buck. Or I could get after it and really nail those little suckers and make enough money to go down to the store and buy myself a push-up pop so that I could enjoy that while watching Afternoon Transformers, which is a very enjoyable way to spend the afternoon, I will tell you, when you're 6 years old. So I grew up in Wrangell in Southeast, and there is a garnet mine near Wrangell. And any kid in Wrangell can go mine as much as they want in order to sell it to tourists. So what this entails, and OSHA is really not fond of this process, this entails children, ideally with an adult or their parents or somebody responsible for them if they should die, going upriver on a skiff about 9 miles up the Stikine River, and you bring your pickaxes and your claw hammers and you chunk out. Or if you think nobody else is around, you bring some dynamite and you let that do it for you. So you go home with these massive chunks of schist, and then I'm trying to pronounce that carefully, schist. And then you chisel those into these lovely little chunks with garnets in them, or you get the loose garnets out and you polish them up and you sell them to the tourists at the ferry dock or the tour boats when they come to town. So this was a little challenging because you really need to go get new rock a couple times in the season in order to have really good product all year round. And my brother and I only had an opportunity to go up once at the beginning of the summer. So a month and a half in, I just did not have the quality of merchandise as my competitors. But I realized that my competitors themselves presented a market opportunity because you've got this string of kids who are bored waiting for these ships to come in, who have access to cash and no adult supervision. Because again, rainforest, all of the adults are waiting in their cars across the parking lot and are not paying attention to what we're doing. So I started baking chocolate chip cookies, ostensibly to sell to the tourists, but more often than not, I would be completely cleaned out before the boat ever docked, thus teaching me the benefit of a side hustle. When I was in high school, I got hired to go feed the science critters in the science room over the summer. And I learned the importance of not only being upfront about your strengths when you are applying for a job, but it really is important to be upfront about your limitations as well. I did really good taking care of the very cute little hamsters that just sat in your hand and you could pet them. And I was able to bring myself to take the little baby rats and feed them to the snakes. But I did not do so good taking care of the tarantula. And I maintain this was not my fault because spiders should not be hairy. I think that it's just a rule that we should just all agree upon that is not how nature should function. So here's what I would do. I would stand about 2 feet away from the terrarium, and I would take a yardstick, and I kind of pop open the lid, and then I would start trying to pitch the little meal bugs in from a ways away so that I wouldn't have to get close enough to ever actually see the tarantula. And by the end of the summer, shockingly, this thing was dead. And it had been dead for so long before I realized it that when I finally poked it, of course, with the yardstick again, it just disintegrated into like the consistency of Cheeto dust. It was so dead at that point. Cheeto dust with hair in it. It was not a good thing. As an adult, I have worked in various iterations of being a writer. I've been a freelance reporter, I've been a grant writer, I've been a ghost writer, I've been a book editor, all sorts of different things. I once got hired to write a bio and album notes for a rock band, which was not as awesome as it sounded,
But it did teach me the very valuable lesson of being able to roll my eyes on the inside and not where the customer can see it. Because you learn when you are a writer for hire and you don't get final creative say on what is happening here that the customer, in fact, is not always right, but they do have the right to insist on however they want it to finally be. In the 7 years that I ran the Readout Reporter, I learned a lot about running a business. I learned a lot about community journalism, and I learned a lot about myself. I learned that I hate accounting and the paperwork and anything to do with the business end of things is not my jam. I learned that I can fit 4,500 newspapers in a Toyota Corolla, but that no cleaning product on earth will get ink stains out of vinyl. I also learned that I can go long periods of time on very little sleep, and though I will eventually start to hallucinate, it's not actually going to bother me all that much. I was taking a shower one day, and it was deadline day, so I had like 4 hours of sleep in 3 days, which was usually how I rolled, and I just kind of casually noticed that I was missing a pinky toe on one foot. And I wasn't even freaked out by that. I'm just like, where did that thing go? I just kind of observed that, well, it's not gory, so it must not have been a recent injury. Did I, like, stub it on something? So I get out of the shower, and I go check my shoes, and I feel in yesterday's socks, and the toe is not there. And I just think, like, well, it'll show up if it shows up. I got stuff to do. So what all of these experiences have taught me is to really value the efforts of entrepreneurs. Because with the paper, I, among many other things, also learned my limit for going it alone. The paper had a lot of very dedicated readers and contributors and advertisers, and it paid its own bills, and all of that was great. But it was all predicated on me pretty much working 7 days a week for 7 years. Even if I was sick, even if I tried to take a vacation, even when my dad died. And when it became apparent that the paper needed an additional investment to be able to grow and be more sustainable, I learned that I was ready for a break. So I'm on to radio these days. I still miss writing and hope to get back to it sometime, but I do really appreciate getting things like, health insurance and vacation time and weekends off and little things like that. So if any of you out there are thinking about starting a business, good on ya. I wish you all the success and naps in the world. And I want you to know that if for whatever reason it doesn't maybe work out, it's not the thing that you do for the rest of your life, that does not mean that it's a failure, because I guarantee you will still at least come away with a heck of a learning experience. If you ever want to really get to know yourself deeply, start a business, you will learn your strengths, you will learn your weaknesses, you will learn everything in between. And who knows, if you are successful, let me know. I might have some newspaper ads to sell you.
And we had a bonus performance at this True Tales event. Noah Proctor of Sterling provided live music for the evening and shared a risky undertaking involving undergarments.
This poetry is called The Bra. You know, I've never been much for shopping. In fact, I try to stay away from town, except when shipping time comes. I ain't easily found. But the day came when I had to go, and I left the kids with Ma. But before I left, she asked me, "Would you pick me up a bra?" Without thinking, I said, "Sure." How tough could that be? I bent down and kissed her and said, "I'll be back by 3. Well, when I'd done the things I needed, I started to regret ever offering to buy that thing. I was working up a sweat. I crossed the street to the lady's shop with my hat pulled over my eyes. I wasn't taking any chances on being recognized. I walked right up to the sales clerk. I didn't hem or haw. I told the lady right straight out, "Ma'am, I'm here to buy a bra." From behind, I heard some snickers, so I turned around to see at least 15 women in the store and all gawking at me. "What kind would you be looking for?" Well, I just scratched my head. I'd only seen one kind before. I thought bras was bras, I said. She gives me a disgusted look. Well, sir, that's where you're wrong. Come with me, I heard her say, and like a dog, I tagged along. She took me down the alley where bras was on display. I thought my jaw hit the floor when I seen that lingerie. They had all these different styles that I'd never seen before. I thought that I'd go crazy before I left that woman's store. They had bras you wear for 18 hours and bras that cross your heart. There was bras that lift and separate, and that was just the start. They had bras that made you feel like you weren't wearing one at all, and bras that you can train in when you start off when you're small. Well, I finally made my mind up. Picked the black and lacy one. I told the lady, bag it up! I figured I was done. But then she asked me for the size. I didn't hesitate. I knew the measurements by heart. 6 7/8. 6 7/8? Well, sir, that really isn't right. Yes, ma'am, I'm positive. I just measured them last night. I thought that she'd go into shock. Must have took her by surprise when I told her that my wife's bust was the same as my hat size. Well, that's what I used to measure with. I figured it was fair. But if I'm wrong, I'm sorry, ma'am. This drew another stare. By now, a crowd had gathered, and they's all cracking up when the lady asked to see my hat to measure for the cup. When she finally had it figured, I gave the gal her pay, and I turned to leave the store, tipped my hat, and said good day. Well, my wife had heard the story before I ever made it home. She talked to 15 women who had called her on the phone. She was still laughing, but by then I didn't care. Now she don't ask, and I don't shop for no women's underwear.
And that was Megan Weston, Jen Luton, Forrest Cohn, Scott Davis, Jill Davis, Jenny Nyman, and Noah Proctor. The next True Tales Told Live will be 6 p.m. Friday, February 1st at Odie's in Soldotna on the theme Sibling Rivalry, The Ties That Bind and Blindside. We're looking for storytellers. If you'd like more information, you can get in touch with True Tales Told Live on Facebook, or you can get in touch with me at KDLL by email at info@kdll.org or by phone at 283-8433. And you can listen to recordings of previous True Tales events on the show page at kdll.org. I'm Jenny Nyman, and this is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. Thanks for tuning in.